Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you Thursday, September 3rd, 2020. 13 minutes coming up on 14 minutes past the hour, and away we go. Happy first day of school to about 50% of the kids in the Marion area. Although, to be honest with you, I really have no idea how this is working. And it's of no fault of anybody but my own, because I did not look into this. But as many of you know, we have five school districts in Marion. We have Marion City, we have Ridgedale, we have River Valley, we have Elgin, and we have Pleasant. And we also have Marion Catholic here. But I don't think they have a high school anymore. Not that that matters, but we have... But I think Marion Catholic is back full-time, is the paperwork that I've read. But we have these other five school districts, which are public schools. And I thought they were all kind of operating off the same hybrid model. But I'm not really sure anymore. Because I thought the hybrid model for Marion City was Monday, Tuesday, the first group. And I think Elgin is this way, too. Maybe not. I could be wrong. But I thought it was Monday, Tuesday, the first group. And then Wednesday was a cleaning day. And then Thursday, Friday, the second group. Now, as I was talking with one of our devoted listeners yesterday, Ernie, we were talking about, the teachers are not cleaning the buildings. They're probably bringing in a staff to do this. And teachers are probably still in the building, because I was talking about a lot of cars being in the Harding parking lot yesterday. A lot of teachers being in the building because they're doing the at-home schooling on the Chromebooks. So I don't really know how this is working. Now, yesterday we had a call from a student, I believe it was at Pleasant, who said they have it staggered. The first group of students went Monday, Wednesday, and then the second group of students went Tuesday, Thursday, and then they clean on Friday. Now, I think that's what Pleasant's doing. So as near as I can tell, Marion City is Monday, Tuesday, first group, cleaning Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, second group. So today would be the first day of school for that group at Marion City. But for Pleasant, different. Today would be the last day for the second group, and tomorrow would be a day of cleaning. Now, I don't know what Elgin or River Valley or Ridgedale are doing. Now, if anybody knows anything about any of this, is anybody on a similar schedule at all? Do we have any idea at all when it comes to this? If you do, let me know. It's interesting to know, because I think it hasn't really been reported in a lot of areas. Now, if it's been in the newspaper, I missed it. I know the Marion Star has done a lot of stories this week on back to school, but I don't know if they've posted these times, because when you have five different school districts, I guess everyone is doing their own thing. So does anybody know how this is all being done? 740-383-9944. Now, I did hear last night, and let me just preface this. This is not news. This is not on a news report. And I'm not even sure if it's true. I heard a rumor. But when you do a talk show, you can say it's a rumor as long as you say it's a rumor, which is what I'm doing. I heard a rumor that some schools are saying that if they meet certain requirements, that within 2 weeks, or possibly the beginning of October, that they will be back to 5 days a week. Now, has anybody heard this? Is this just a rumor? Are schools sending out paperwork to this effect? I don't know. It's very different. It's very interesting. And we're still in the first week here. So I really don't know. If anybody has any information on this, let me know, because I have no idea at all. Now, I'm thinking, though, that River Valley, I think it would be River Valley. I'm thinking, though, that River Valley might be on the same schedule as the city schools, because I'm seeing a lot of pictures on Facebook today of kids getting ready for the first day of school, and I know these kids are not in the Marion City School District. I think these kids actually live in Caledonia, maybe. Now, is Caledonia River Valley? That I don't know. I don't think it would be Ridgedale. So I'm not sure how that's working. But as I have it now, the report that I have, Marion City, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday cleaning, Thursday, Friday. I think River Valley, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, Thursday, Friday. Elgin, Pleasant, apparently, Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday off. And Elgin and River Valley, I have no idea. So, if anybody has any idea on any of this to help straighten us out here this morning, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We love to spread education and information to our audiences, and this one just has me totally baffled, because I would have thought that all five districts, because I know they have been meeting together to decide how to handle the start of school, I would have thought they would have been on similar models of this hybrid situation, but apparently, for what I'm hearing, that's not the case. Now, has anybody also heard of anything going particularly good at schools or particularly bad? What has the feedback been? We're to the fourth day, only one day left this week. How have things been going? Do you have students? Do you have grandchildren? Do you have nieces and nephews who you've talked to about what is going on in this new hybrid school, wear a mask all day, mask break, pandemic version of the schools that we have now? Has anybody talked to anybody about this and got the kids' feedback, or talked to a teacher and got the teacher's feedback as to what we're going through right now? If you have any of that, let me know. I'd love to know, because I have not been on the inside of the school since this all started, and I don't know how it's being received, and I don't know how the students are reacting. I don't know how the teachers are reacting. I don't know how it's all shaking out. But if you know, let me know right here, 740-383-9944. Now, I have a little complaint here this morning. Yesterday I went on and on about the traffic situation in Marion, because as many of you know, Route 95 is blocked off and continues to be blocked off right in front of Burger King, and apparently it's going to be that way through at least September 14th because of a water line and asphalt replacement. And in that particular situation, we still don't know if that caused a sinkhole in the middle of 95, or if there was a waterline break and crews came in and jackhammered a hole in the middle of the street to try to figure out what the problem was. We still don't really know which came first there, the chicken or the egg. But regardless, there's a hole in the middle of Route 95, but they're working on it with asphalt replacement and waterline repair to make that a much better situation. And yesterday I was telling you that they were repainting the lines on Route 309 on Tuesday, which made it a little nightmarish to get home Tuesday because you can't go up Route 95. And so I took the detour down 309, but 309 was down to one lane going east because of the repainting of the lines on the street. You know, planning is everything. So that was a mess. But yesterday, here's what I ran into, because I went up to 309 again because 95 is blocked off. So I went up to 309. Now, they were not painting the roads again, so that must have been taken care of on Tuesday. But for some reason, and this would have been about 12:30 yesterday, 12:30, 1 o'clock, there was a line starting at University, the end of University Drive, right there at Harding High School. There was a line of cars at 12:30 in the afternoon that extended from University Drive all the way back to Kensington, back to where the Little Red Caboose used to be. Matter of fact, a little further back than that. Almost back to where Center crosses Kensington. And I don't know what that was all about. I don't know if that was just a pile-up of traffic from Route 95. Is the noon hour worse? Because what I couldn't figure out is, I expect there to be a lot of traffic issues there at like 7 in the morning, because that's when Harding goes to school. But I don't think they went to school yesterday, because I think it was a cleaning day. And I would expect there to be a lot of issue there about 2:30 in the afternoon, because that's when Harding lets out. But again, yesterday there was no school there, I don't think. I think it was a cleaning day. So what was going on at 12:30 yesterday, 12:30 to 1? Is it just because it's a lunch hour? Do that many people really go to 95 to have lunch? Because there's really nothing on 309 on that end. Except Speedway, where you could go and get anything to eat. And it did not look like the cars were going down to Speedway, because once you got past the light at University and 309 there in front of Harding, you were fine. So what is causing this bottleneck of traffic? Now, today I'll be out of here a little earlier. So I'm going to see if the traffic is as bad this morning before 12:30. But of course, kids are in school today. So I don't know. There was no road construction. There was no line painting yesterday on 309. So why traffic was so backed up on Route 309 yesterday, I have no idea at all. Is this all carryover from Route 95? Are people having big issues with the Route 95 being blocked off? You know, it's right there really close to the college. It's right there really close to Marion Tech. It's right there really close to Walmart. I don't know if it's causing problems. Are people just navigating around it? I don't know. If anybody has any information on that, or schools, give me a buzz. Love to hear from you. This is a call-in show. We try to share information here. That's the main goal of this program, so hopefully you call in and let us know what you know. And again, I understand what you're saying during a talk show. It may just be rumor on your end, too. This is not a news broadcast. We're just trying to share information. And sometimes information is shared through things we've heard. How often does that happen? You know, I remember when the Dunkin' Donuts came to town here. That was all hearsay. Hey, did you hear that Marion's going to get a Dunkin' Donuts? And then somebody else said, oh, yeah, I think they're gonna have a Dunkin' Donut. And where's it going to be? And it's going to be there. And so on and so forth. And then it finally happened, and we had a Dunkin' Donuts in Marion. So a lot of times you get good information through rumor, and a lot of times you get bad information through rumor. But in this particular case, I know a lot of people have ties to the community. As I said, you have grandchildren, you have children in the schools, you have nieces and nephews, you drive these streets, and maybe you have a better insight into what's going on than I do. So if you know about any of this, give me a call here this morning, 740-383-9944. What was the commotion on 309 yesterday that caused such a bottleneck in traffic at 12:30, which I thought that's an odd time to have a bottleneck there at University Drive all the way back to Kensington? And what's the school schedule? Are they all on the same schedule? Are they all cleaning on the same day? Does anybody know the answers to this? Or how are the kids adapting to this new world? How are the teachers adapting to this new world? It's all very interesting stuff. 27 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. By the way, I have Spectrum Cable, or Spectrum Internet. I don't have the cable service anymore. I have Spectrum Internet. And I do not know what's going on with this. I've never had a problem with it, to be honest with you. But recently, for some reason, because I have the wireless service, and, you know, there are some devices in my house hooked up to the wireless service, like the Roku and a tablet I think I have connected to the wireless, and I also have a desktop computer with a wireless router hooked up to it in my office, my home office. Now, I've never had a problem in 3 or 4 years now, since I've had this set up, with the wireless signal getting to the home office computer. Because it's, you know, like two or three rooms away. It's probably furthest away from the box than any other device in the house. But for some reason, the last 4 days, this computer has been moving so slow. Now, nothing else on the computer has been moving slow except the wireless connection, except the internet. Everything else works fine. But for some reason, that wireless connection has been particularly slow. And I don't know what has changed in the last 4 or 5 days that would have caused that. Does anybody have issues with their wireless connection? Because this is a topic that I think really could be fascinating. Because I don't know what causes a wireless connection to be stronger in your house, and I don't know what causes a wireless connection to be weaker. Now, I know the more devices you have hooked to a wireless device, the slower it's going to move, but I haven't added any new devices. Like I say, I just have the tablet. My smart TV is plugged directly in, so it's not using the wireless. It's using the Ethernet cable. I have the Roku hooked to it, and that's about it. So I really don't know beyond that. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Mr. Wonderful.
Oh, Martha Dowse, how are you?
Presidential Linda's fixing me up.
What?
Linda's an activities assistant. You're on the radio, Linda.
Well, how are you doing, Martha?
I want to call and tell you something. I got a letter from my teacher from Cleveland, Ohio, and she said, thank you, Martha, for bringing dance into the world. And you are the Pied Piper of Ohio.
Well, that certainly is true, Martha. Now, how many dance studios do you have now in Ohio?
Well, I've been all over. I have had 87 counties where I've had pageants in, Scott.
87? Now, did you use
88 counties, you know.
I did.
There's one called MacArthur County.
So, which one?
And Ted MacArthur said, Martha, I want my daughter, she's 3 years old, to be Wee Baby MacArthur County. I'll give you $400 for that title. So he did. I got $400 times 88.
How about that?
And you know what I did with it?
What'd you do with it?
Bought a house right beside the dance studio, 492 Girard Avenue.
Oh, how nice.
Jill and I own 3 houses on Bell Fountain, 488 Girard, the studio, and 492.
Now, Martha, how are you doing during this pandemic?
Terrible. We had somebody get real sick on our side. Your grandfather's died.
Uh-huh.
Grandfather and me have been locked up in our rooms for 2 weeks. We get out Friday, honey.
Well, that's probably a safety precaution, so you guys...
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, that's good that they're taking care of you guys. Now, did the person end up getting better, do you know?
They died.
Oh, no. That is a shame. But you guys are still doing okay.
Yep.
Well, that's
we're
good.
We're going to get out and can walk around. We can't get out of our room, Scott.
Oh, I know, but it's probably safer and better that way, Martha, while the pandemic's...
I know it.
Now, you guys can't have visitors right now, right?
No. We haven't had.
So how have
we
you...
We haven't played bingo since February, Scott.
Oh, my gosh. So how do you spend your time, Martha?
What?
How are you spending your time?
Watching TV. and listening to WGH Radio.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. Now, have you been watching your Reds, Martha?
Are you kidding? Did you see their loss the other night? 16-2.
Woo.
Last night they won.
But that
Jerry Votto hit a home run last night.
That is something. You know, Martha, we were talking about... You know, Martha, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about Joe's store here in town. Where was his store at?
729 Silver Street, on the corner of Silver and Cass.
Now, how long did he have that store?
On the southeast corner.
On the southeast corner. Now, what kind of things did Joe sell in there?
Candy. Beer. Just, you gotta be 18 to buy beer, honey.
Now, did you ever spend much time down there helping Joe out?
Are you kidding? I was down there all the time. And Joe's mother said to me, Martha, if you marry my son, you gotta spell your name Maniac and Adonai.
Martha, tell the story about when you and Joe were gonna get married, what you said you would do for him and he would do for you guys to get married.
Well, Joe's dad bought him a brand spanking new Chevrolet convertible for graduation from St. Mary's Catholic High School. And we dated that, went to Cleveland, Ohio to see the Indians, the Cavaliers, and the Browns. And we went every weekend. One day, Sunday, on the way home, I said, honey, will you dance for Dallas and teach? I know a teacher in Columbus. You're fasting from France, knows how to teach partnering. I want you to dance for me, and I'll turn Catholic for you. He said, oh, my Lord, Martha, I'll do it. I sure will do it.
So,
that makes me happy. I want my family to be Catholic. My grandfather is from Sicily. We're Sicilians. We're not Catholic, but he's a Catholic. And I want to carry on the Menace name and the Catholic in the family.
Well, you certainly...
And when I got to be 19 years old, I turned Catholic.
Well, that, and have been ever since.
And we got married when I was 20 on July the 4th, and we drove that 48 Chevrolet convertible to Colorado, and we stayed 3 weeks for our honeymoon stop.
That is great.
We went to the Garden of the Gods. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't heard of that.
And the Royal Gorge, and it has the largest bridge in the United States. That state of Colorado is a wonderful place.
Well, Martha, I'm so glad to hear you're doing well, and I'm so glad to hear from you and out there listening. And if anything interests you, just give us a call.
Well, I love listening to you. And I've got your present from your birthday here. It's an Ohio State Cup to drink out of.
Oh, well, I will look forward to that, Martha, when they
and
open.
And I miss Charlie, so, you know, he died on my great-great-granddaughter's birthday, the 24th of May.
Is that right?
Yes, he did.
Well, we all miss him around.
Yesterday, I sent $100 to the Palace Theater in Charlie's name. And yesterday, I got a thank you card from Jennifer Evers.
Oh, good. Oh, Jeannie, his wife?
Yes.
Oh, well, I'm glad. Jeannie's a nice lady. She's out there listening.
You know that Charlie lived right next door in Curtin to my great aunt.
Well, that's great. Hey, you know, Martha. You know, Martha, I know that Jeannie, his wife, listens most mornings. If you want to say thank you, I'm sure she's out there listening.
Oh, that card you sent me yesterday was the prettiest card I've ever seen, and I've got hanging on my door.
Well, that's
and
great.
I would just love to hear Charlie. I thank you, Scott, for playing his. I love Charlie Evers.
Well, he's on every day, 7 a.m., 7 p.m., and 1 p.m., so he'll be there for... I say he's on 7 a.m., 7 p.m., and 12 p.m.
Oh, well, I'm going to be the best listener you got.
Well, Martha, thank you for calling, and I'm sure I'll talk to you soon.
God is great, and so are you, Scott Sears.
Thank you, Martha.
Bye.
The one and only Queen of Dance, Martha Dousmanasi. Now, there's an icon. We had this conversation about icons not too long ago. Martha really cut her own path. I've said this before, but boy, did she. She, you gotta figure, she was doing things in the 40s as a woman running her own business that people... really were not doing. And people who knew Martha knew she was a take-charge woman. She was very meticulous about how she ran her business and how her students danced and what her stage productions looked like. And she was really just a top-notch lady. So it's always good to hear from Martha Dowse and know she's doing well during the midst of this pandemic. And Martha, who has said this before, Martha, next year... May will be 90 years old. Can you imagine that? Martha will be 90 next May. Now, I did get a message here while Martha was talking to me about why my internet connection is so slow all of a sudden. And this is a good explanation. The explanation is maybe it's because schools are back in and everybody's pulling off of the internet when maybe they weren't. Prior to the start of the school year. So that could be. Okay, now the phone lines are open 41 minutes past the hour here, 740-383-9944. Does anybody have any other speculation as to why my internet connection might be running so much slower this week? And I'll tell you something, it's weird because it's usually at night. During the day, there doesn't seem to be as big a problem. But like 9 o'clock at night... 9:30, 10 o'clock, that's when it gets all hung up. And I don't know what that... It could be the school thing. That makes sense. Maybe that's when kids are doing their homework. I don't know. If anybody's got any reasoning for that, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. Or if anybody knows how these schools are doing this staggered model that they're doing, let me know. Would love to know about that. Also... if you have any memories or thoughts on Martha Dowse there, Martha, one of the great icons of this community, 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. Yesterday you asked for an English expert, and I came through, and today you're asking for a computer expert, so
yes.
I'm a man of many trades.
Yes. Help me out here, Adam.
I'm good at unplugging toilets, too, so if you need like a crack plumber, I mean, I'm your man for that.
Okay.
Remember our studio in the mall. I mean, the toilet was so yucky, no one even really went. So, Thankfully now, I guess the only issue with the men's room is the key. We've already dashed that into the ground. But this is the agent at your house, right? The mysterious house that you live in?
Yes,
you have the
yes.
That you invite me? Okay. Have you tried power cycling your modem and router? Unplug it. Wait a couple minutes, plug it back in again. That works a lot because it kind of resets. It kind of gives it a slap in the you-know-where, and it just finds a new connection and often ends up working better. That's the first thing I recommend.
Now, when you do that, how long are you supposed to wait before you plug it back in?
Just give it 5 minutes because it's just good to let the electronics cool down and then let it resync. Depends on your provider. Something else you can do, and this is more when the connection is dropped. You have cable, or do you have like UVerse, or what kind of service do you have?
Cable.
So you have the thick coaxial cable, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Unscrew that from the modem. Do you have a separate modem and router, or just one?
I think the modem and the router are all one.
Okay. Unscrew the black cable from the modem router gadget. Also, and that really will reset everything. And then take like go to the boys' room, get a cup of coffee. You know, go call your favorite radio host, whatever you know feel like doing. And then I would say first, don't touch the computer. Doesn't matter. It's the equipment. And just put the coax cable back in. Wait another minute or so. Then plug the cord back in. And that tends to help. If it doesn't, maybe an issue with the bandwidth and the provider, and you know, providers are like political candidates. They don't always, but usually don't tell the truth. And so there may be some issue with the bandwidth in your area. Call them, of course, they'll tell you that you're crazy, but try to convince them and have them look at the connection in your neighborhood because there could be an issue. Do you also, another suggestion, and this could kill two birds with one stone, as my mom used to say, for who is your provider and do you own the modem router, or do you rent it from them?
Spectrum, and they own it.
Okay, and you pay them a monthly rent, like $8 a month each place?
You know, I think it's waived because of the package I'm in, but
okay.
It's theirs.
Do you also have a landline phone attached to that, or is it just for internet?
No, there's a phone attached to that.
Okay, so with the landline phone, you have to use their equipment. So I was thinking get your own equipment, but that one's a landline phone. The other option, though, this will kill three birds with one stone. Even though it's their equipment, it's often not the best quality. It might have been refurbed or maybe an older model. You can go out and get your own equipment, and you can get $89 at Walmart. It's not expensive. And use your device instead. Then you can keep your same phone number because you're paying, as you probably know, a dollar or two a month for number portability. Just, you know, I've had my cell phone number, literally, Scott, I've had that since, like, 96. I've had it under so many different companies, plus all the companies merged, and it's Sprint, but now it's T-Mobile. It's literally been under about probably 8 different companies, so I've kept the number. But with your home number, you probably want to keep the same number. And so you could get a Magic Jack or some, which is what I'm using, that's what I'm using right now, or some other VoIP. But Magic Jack is great because it's like $2 a month, and it's so easy to use. It's something that actually is at least a claim, which is rare nowadays. Port it over to a Magic Jack and don't have the Spectrum phone anymore, and you plug it right into your device, or you can get the one that's in your computer. And even if Lauren's spending money on the rental of the modem, you have more control over the equipment, and you could get a new modem router every couple of years as the equipment gets better. In the end, I mean, it will cost you less because you wouldn't have to pay for the phone anymore. You can just drop that and get the Magic Jack, which comes to about $2 a month. If you're not married to your number, you can get a vanity number. Like this number, you'll notice, ends in 2326, which spells Adam. And it's very similar to my cell number, which also ends in 2326, which spells Adam. So you can get a vanity number with them pretty easily by just doing a search. So that would be some suggestions that I have. But first, let's try the power cycling, which might include unscrewing the coax cable. And I think we'll have a means to an end here.
Well,
you want to consider just switching over to a third-party for your phone and getting your own equipment, and it gives you much more control. And I suspect that'll solve all issues that you have.
Well, I will look into that, and I'll report back tomorrow on the air on what happened.
Hopefully, that'll you know how thorough I am. But you want to answer? You know me. I'm the official station English crack English professor. And I mean, I am the computer tech, so I should know about that, either, you know, me or Sean. So, okay, well, I wish Martha a happy 90th coming up. And again, your birthday next year is a big one. I think it's 25. So
25.
A happy one for that also.
All right.
You talked about Tom Seaver at all. I know I had something to talk about. What a great player.
Yeah, that was sad to hear that last night that he had passed
away.
Yeah,
he played for the Reds, hit a no-hitter. You know, he was one, you know, I'm a baseball purist. I hate the DH rule, and he was one of the best hitting pitchers. I kind of like Tom Glavine. You know, he could do everything. He realized that he was old school, and being a good hitter and good defensive player is one of the things you do as a pitcher. It's not just striking people out and getting outs. It's you have to be the whole package. Yeah, a gentleman, too. Again, Tom Glavine kind of reminds me of him a bit. And that he was a whole package. He was a gentleman, and we need more players like that. And what a loss! He did have some age related conditions, but you know, 75, that's still young by today's standards, and we'll certainly miss him. Player I grew up watching and admiring. I mean, it doesn't matter who your favorite team is, Scott. If you don't love Tom Seaver, you're not a baseball fan. So I'm saddened.
Yep, definitely.
My condolences. And let's hope that his greatness as a man and a player will influence people who play baseball and people who don't.
I would imagine that's true. Well, thanks, Adam, for calling.
Have a good day, Scott.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, Adam Lepp, whose show can be heard on this station Monday morning from 10:10 a.m. till 11 a.m., and Tuesday and Thursday from 2:10 until 3 p.m. By the way, don't forget today, on the air with Glenn Coble when this show's over this morning, 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon. And then Swap Shop today from 12:15 to 1 p.m. Right here on this station. And then Adam, 2 to 3. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We love the back and forth on the telephones, and we thank Martha Dowse and Adam for calling in this morning, giving some internet tips, as well as Martha with a little history on what's going on, or has went on, I should say, in her life. 740-383-9944. Does anybody know anything about that traffic kerfluffle yesterday on Route 309 around 12:30. Does anybody have anything to say about the schools? Do we know any information yet? How are the kids adjusting to that? How are the teachers adjusting to that? What do we think of that so far? Which schools? We have five of them in this county, which is unusual. How are the schools going? Are they all Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday, Friday, and a cleaning day Wednesday? Or are some Monday, Wednesday, and then some Thursday, Tuesday, Thursday, and then off Friday for a cleaning day? I don't know. Let me know. 740-383-9944. Okay, and also the internet problem. If anybody has any other ideas as to why the internet is doing whatever it's doing, which, what a mess that is. Give me a buzz. I do want to thank Matt Bales for coming in yesterday, the Republican candidate for sheriff here in Marion. And I want to thank the whole group here. I want to thank Sheriff Bailey for coming in last Friday. I want to thank Matt Bales for coming in yesterday. And I want to thank Chief Bill Collins for coming in on Monday, because yesterday I heard back, well, from those three interviews in general, I heard back so much feedback. And I heard from about three or four people yesterday, maybe even more than that, that they had made up their decision about who they're going to vote for sheriff, because of the interviews on this show. Now, I'm curious, and I did not ask any of these people, because I only want people to give as much information as they want to give, but I'm curious about what swung it for most people. What made them decide who they're going to vote for? Because I, you know, maybe I'm naive in saying this, but I never see the sheriff as a political position. You know, yes, Sheriff Bailey is a Democrat, and yes, Matt Bales is a Republican, but I don't know that people look at that job as a political position. I don't know that they look at it as a or Republicans in there, or all Democrats in there. I think they want the best person for the job of sheriff, because a sheriff helps protect the community. So I'm interested to know what people thought of those interviews. Not just the people who told me now they know who they're going to vote for because of those interviews, but did it help anybody in any way to have the three of them on? Certainly Sheriff Bailey, because he's the Democrat, Matt Bales the Republican, and here we go. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Your feelings are my feelings exactly.
Oh, good. Now, yeah.
Yeah, he was, yesterday he was whining about, oh, that position's been held by Democrats for so long. Well, to me, the sheriff's position shouldn't be political. So, he lost my vote.
Oh, with that comment. Well, you know what was interesting?
Yeah, he did. He was whining. And it was like, you know, he was, and then he was picking on John Butterworth, and I didn't like that either.
You know what was interesting about that particular part of the interview about, you know, it, Democrats holding that position for that long? You know, honestly, to be honest, I know that Sheriff Bailey's a Democrat just because I've covered him because mm-hmm. he's been in that position for so long. But I could not have told you what John Butterworth, I could not have told you what Ron Scheider. Matter of fact, I thought Ron Scheider was a Democrat.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, well, so it's weird because, and that's why I say I've always felt that was non-political,
yeah.
because I don't even think I knew that Bailey was a Democrat until the Star did a story about the Democratic sheriff endorsing the Republican prosecutor. So I've never paid attention to what political party the sheriff belonged to.
Me, you know, basically me either. It's just, he was whining.
I
don't think if you're a sheriff you should be whining. I like Sheriff Bailey. He's always been very nice to me. He didn't get on your show and whine and complain. He sat there and I believe he stated facts.
So what did you make of the rebuttal of Sheriff Bailey by the chief and Matt yesterday?
Well, again, it's like, who do you believe? I don't know.
You know what's interesting about that whole thing? Because honestly, if you tell somebody you're going to get involved or not get involved, which is really what that came down to. What it came down to was, did Chief Collins let Sheriff Bailey know beforehand that he was going to support Matt Bales or take a position with the office? Now,
didn't he tell him that he was going to keep his nose out of it?
Well, that's what Sheriff Bailey said.
Right.
Now, Chief Collins says different.
Right.
And Matt Bales says different. So, but what's strange about that whole issue to me is I don't, you really don't know who's telling the truth. I mean,
right.
We don't know. But I don't know if it really has anything to do with being sheriff. And to me, what that had to do with was hurt feelings. And I think I know if you listen to the Sheriff Bailey interview, anybody who heard it, when he says, I felt stabbed in the back,
mm-hmm.
That's hurt feelings.
Right.
So I don't know how, like I said, I don't know if he knew or not, but I guess I don't understand what the difference would have been if let's say that the chief and Matt Bales were saying the truth, that Bailey did know that this was going to happen. I just don't know what would have made the difference if Bailey would have came on and said, well, yes, I knew, but because I've worked with the chief for so long, I feel stabbed in the back by this.
Well, I think that would have been different. It's hard to know who's telling the truth. It's hard to know who's who's being up front. I just know with the police and with Scott, is that his name? They're gonna back each other no matter what. is true or not true. I was more impressed with the sheriff's interview than I was with the police chief and the guy yesterday. And the guy yesterday was just, all I took away from it is that he's whining that the Democrats have held this position for so long. And it's like, who cares? It's the, and then he started talking about, well, the Democrats just pass it on right on down the line. Well, if he gets in there, don't you think he's going to be doing the same thing?
Well, it's interesting because I had not heard that, but, and he said the name, he said Aaron Corwin was next in line. So I wonder, you know, I might call up the sheriff again and see if we can get him back in here sometime soon, because I think not only should I give him the opportunity to answer what has been said, because he was the first one in here, so he hasn't had a chance to do that.
Right.
But also, I think that was an interesting assertion, because that has to do with the job. And for Matt to say the name specifically, Aaron Corwin, yesterday, it'd be interesting to know what Sheriff Bailey's thoughts are on that.
Well, that's true, too. But you can't call out one person if you're going to basically be doing the same thing if you get into that position.
It's interesting. I was just surprised being in the community, because sometimes you do things and people, I think it's kind of a moot point. People listen, people either like or dislike it. But those interviews, just yesterday being the last interview, I was approached so much, so often yesterday in emails and so on and so forth about people saying, you know, it helped make up their decision. But you know what? I didn't ask anybody how it did. So I'm interested. Did it swing it more toward Bales, or did it swing it more toward Bailey? I don't know, but apparently it did help, because I heard that more than once, certainly. So we'll see how it shakes out.
I'm for the record, I'm Bailey.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we're going to take a break and come back and talk more about this. And if you want, again, you don't have to tell us who you're voting for if you don't want to, and you certainly don't have to tell us your name, but I think that's an interesting dynamic, and that's an interesting opinion the caller just had, that what threw it for her to Bailey was because of the political implication yesterday by Matt Bales that Democrats have held that position for a long time, which I guess is true, but different feelings from different people. We're going to take a break. Be back in 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Talked about it, and this show had my name on it. It was wonderful. You got to meet everybody, and you know, I'll just never forget it. I'm glad it happened. I feel blessed.
Epitaph.
Yeah.